Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you are in the world. I hope you're very well. You're listening to Autistic Voices on UK Health Radio. I'm Evelyn Charmer. I'm a paediatric therapist, and I'm the director of Ed Elf Child Therapy Limited and its sister training company for therapists, the Child Hypnotherapy Institute. And I've recently been diagnosed autistic myself. So I'm very inspired to bring you a diverse and rich range of autistic voices from the community. People who are diagnosed, people who are not diagnosed, people who work alongside and collaborate with autistic families or autistic adults, people who identify as neurodivergent. Please come and join the conversation. I'd love to hear from you. You can email me at Evelyn, that's Evelyne, at childhypnotherapyinstitute.com, or contact me via the show. Thank you for joining me with Autistic Voices on UK Health Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
Hello, you're listening to Evelyn Charmer on Autistic Voices, UK Health Radio. And I'd like to welcome a very special guest today. His name's Nick, and he's 16, and he is autistic. So welcome to the show, Nick.
Thank you very much.
Well, thank you. I always start my shows with gratitude, to put us in a good positive mental head place, and I just want to say that I'm really grateful today for you coming on the show and being so up for it, because Autistic Voices is for everybody, and that includes children and young people and young adults. And I think having your story on the show is going to really help others to maybe think about coming on as well. So thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
Tell me something you're grateful for today.
Having the opportunity to educate people about what autism is, because I think there's a lot of misconceptions in the world, and I just want people to understand more.
Absolutely. And I that's the exact reason why I've started doing the show. And when I was talking to you about it and you said, I'd be happy to come on, I thought that was amazing. And absolutely. What are the sort of things that you want to educate people about?
Well, I think there's a lot of misconceptions about what autism is. I mean, it can affect people in so many different ways. It can make you good at some things, worse at some, and it's not what people think it is sometimes. I think most people, when they hear autism, they think, sadly, they think strange, weird, slightly abnormal. Some people think, oh, they're not very smart. Or some people think they're amazingly smart, but it's not that. I mean, it makes me really passionate about some things, but it hinders some of my social skills. I mean, there are so many different ways it can affect someone, and it's not weird or freaky. It's just different.
It's just different. And as you know, I've been diagnosed autistic just last year, and I'm 54 now. So I keep saying that on the show because I can't quite believe I'm 54. My brain hasn't caught up with my body on that one. And I'm finding it hard to accept. But at the same time, I completely hear what you're saying. And I've been labelled weird and quirky, and I probably am a bit weird and a bit quirky.
That's what you are.
Yeah, but I've kind of been labelled that in different, I don't know, work environments and things like that, and school environments. And sometimes people have meant well by it, and their intention is that they see it as a positive.
Yeah.
But I think in general, it made me question, well, am I weird? And what is weird anyway? And I'm starting to understand that there is no such thing, and there's no such thing as normality either.
Yeah, and I think what's really sad is, when sometimes I've told people, oh, I'm autistic. One of the responses I've had, oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, really?
Autism isn't a negative. Autism is something that makes us all slightly different. It's just a difference, and it's nothing to be sorry about.
Thank you for saying that. And, I was talking to another guest, actually, who was talking about how, you know, where do these ideas come from for people? And, you know, we've not had a lot of really positive information and stories in the media. I think we're getting a few more now, and a few more public, you know, announcements of people being autistic that people can relate to, you know, like Chris Packham, Elon Musk, recently Melanie Sykes. But, you know, I think we can't blame people for their misconceptions. I think the best thing we can do is what we're doing right now is try to change them. People. Yeah, and educate people. So we know that you're 16.
Yeah.
So you attend a boarding school in Sussex, and you're there. How many nights a week do you board?
I'm there four, now three nights a week. I spend 3 nights a week at school.
So why have you changed from 4 nights a week boarding to three?
Simply because I have weekly counselling sessions and I had to find a way to make that work. And the only way we could do that is if I was to come home on one evening a week.
And how do you find that with the transition?
Well, it's only started recently, but I mean, it's just been really helpful. I mean, for me, the week can get really full on, and just to have a break, just to cut it in half and come home and just relax and not have to constantly mask, it's really helpful.
And you have your counselling on the same day?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So without naming names, describe your family.
I have my father, I have my mum, I have my younger sister. I probably get on best with my mum, but argue the most, as it tends to be. I have quite a difficult relationship with my sister, who, I mean, as you could expect, probably finds it quite hard to deal with and accept the fact that I am different. And that does bring its challenges. I, of course, accept. And then I get on quite well with my dad.
Yeah. And I think, you know what, lots and lots of people struggle to get on with their siblings.
Yes.
When they're your age, neurodiverse or not. It's not unusual within families for siblings to find it quite difficult and challenging at times. But I guess what you're saying is you think there might be particular challenges because you're autistic and your sister is neurotypical.
It does bring its individual challenges.
Yeah. Can you think of any that you could share?
I like silence. I hate outside noise and stimulus and other sensory stuff. So I'm not very quiet, but I do expect my sister, my mum, if they're in their sort of room, to just keep it down a bit, which, I mean, obviously slightly unreasonable, a bit hypocritical, but that's just me. I make the noise. I ask them not to.
I find this interesting. I was talking to some guests today from an organisation called Autism Wellbeing, and they were talking about sensory needs and sensory overwhelm and how, you know, what can impact you one day might not impact you another day. It depends on lots of factors, etc. So I'm interested, if sound can bother you and you really like silence,
do you have
any problem after playing on your Xbox for a while, say with your headphones on, and it's been very loud and chaotic and noisy?
No, I don't tend to, because I actually have headphones where I can adjust the volume, so I make sure stuff is all turned down. That doesn't affect me too much. To be fair, when it's sound that I can control, like sound with my headphones, I love having really loud music in my AirPods, but sound I can't control, not so much.
Oh, how interesting. So sound you can control, you're fine with. And I guess it is about control, isn't it? Lots of people say this, actually, that they can cope with loud noises. But if it's an unexpected loud noise that they've got nothing to do with and they don't know it's coming and they can't stop it or have any control over it, like a door slamming or somebody breaking something, that is difficult. You know, because it's the unexpected and having no control. I find that really interesting. Thank you. Okay, so when were you diagnosed autistic?
I was diagnosed 2 years ago when I was 14.
Okay, so can you remember being put forward for the assessment and when the word autistic started being, you know, used to describe you?
The word autism in me has been around for quite a while. I think when I couldn't have been much older than 12 or something, I went up to London for an assessment. I was told I had a lot of autistic traits, didn't get the autism diagnosis, which we kind of wanted. But I mean, that word is, we've always known that I was different to most people, and that word has been one commonly associated.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I always knew I was different. I had trouble with bullying from quite a young age. So, I mean...
Being bullied or bullying others?
Being bullied.
Just to clarify.
Yeah, I'm not a bully.
So you were diagnosed at 14.
Yeah.
And how do you feel about the discovery?
We were expecting it. I mean, I came out with three more than I had actually bargained for, but
three more what?
Diagnosis.
Right, what else? What else then?
I came out with anxiety, stress, and ADHD as well, which we obviously weren't expecting. But I mean, autism, I think.
Yeah. So before you had your assessment, then you say you knew you had autism and you knew you were different.
Yeah.
Had you done any reading or found out about autism to see if it was something you connected with?
Not really, because I mean, it was never really something that took my interest, because as a kid, I always used to think autism is slightly strange. I don't want to be like that. Now I've realized it's not. And this is what I want to try and do by being here, is younger children have this misconception of it's weird, it's strange, it's not. You just need to learn about what it actually means, and then you can actually see how it can be so positive.
Oh, that's brilliant, Nick. So talking of that then, maybe for a bit later, but just something to plant a seed.
Yeah.
You can answer it now if you have the answer, but you might want to think on it a bit. Is just sort of maybe one or two things that you would advise another young person or child who has just been assessed as autistic, and how to, you know, how to get those positives and how to really understand it. So you can have...
I think the first thing I would say is do not think of it as a negative, because it's not. It's not this big thing. Oh my God, you're autistic. You're different. Yes, you're different, but wow, it can bring you positives. I mean, it's helped me with a couple of things that like I find so much easier than other people. It's an adjustment, and it's something to learn about yourself. I still learn something about myself every single day.
Yeah, me too. And I think that's the beauty of life. It's never finished.
Exactly.
And we'll never stop growing, do we? So I think that's brilliant to give, you know, an honest experience that you've had, that you've found some real positives. So what's it helped you with, or what is it helping you with?
Well, I mean, in terms of social skills, I mean, I do find it obviously hard to read social cues and other things, but I think socially, I mean, I've found it so much easier to socialize with girls, actually.
Right.
So, I mean, the majority of my close friends are girls, and it's just helped me so much with that. And while it has impacted some of my social skills, the other side, it's helped me to build such strong friendships with just a couple people. And that what people need to realize, especially in this teenage phase, it's not about having lots and lots of friends. That doesn't make you happy. That doesn't make you popular. What makes you happy is just having a couple really close friends that you can trust and rely on and will help you. Oh, and that's what autism has helped me do, form those friendships. And I've found the people who I want to spend my time with.
And so are your friends, those people you're talking about, you can talk a bit more about them if you like. They're obviously very special to you. Are they neurotypical or are they autistic people?
They are all neurotypical.
They're all neurotypical. So do you tell them that they know that you're autistic and
yes,
have
all
ADHD?
All of my close friends know I'm autistic and everything yeah. about me.
And how? What sort of responses do you get? I mean, apart from the one you told me earlier, and that wasn't a friend who said, oh, I'm really sorry to hear that.
I've had some lots of different responses. I mean, there's probably about 20 people who I've told in my entire life, not many.
You're telling a lot more people now, Nick, because we've got about 1.6 million listeners.
But clearly, I mean, the best response I have, I was on holiday, and it was probably the nicest response I ever had, was I met this lovely family, the dad of whom I was having a conversation with, and autism came up, and I happened to say, oh, actually, I'm autistic. And he said, what? I would never have known. You're the most lovely, not awkward at all, easily sociable, confident gentleman. And that is it. Like, that is the nicest way everyone's ever responded to me about it. And I mean, I've never had anyone give me a really awful reaction.
Yeah.
Because
I mean, think, also it says that he was maybe his understanding of being autistic is based on having met one autistic person who did present in the awkward kind of way that he was expecting.
And I also had to explain to him, I find it hard reading social cues, kind of knowing when to go in a conversation when there's lots of people. I find it hard with large groups, which is what we were in, a large group. I found it hard with lots of noise. We were on a disco floor. So
how did you manage that then? How did you cope?
Sometimes it affects me, sometimes it doesn't. It's really weird. It fluctuates, but it didn't affect me that time.
It's not weird. And as I was saying to you, I was talking to a couple of really well-respected and well-read and, you know, amazing professionals, Rory and Emma, who are from Autism Wellbeing. And we were just talking about exactly that, you know, it's difficult for parents sometimes because a child's response to one incident or something happening or a person even or a smell or food or just anything that, you know, stimulates the senses. You're talking about sound. Yeah. How they react to that and respond to that will fluctuate.
Yeah.
And it depends on so many different factors. So there's nothing weird about that. It depends on a lot of different things. And I guess it's about sort of all sorts of things, isn't there? Whether you're tired, whether you are hungry, whether you're feeling stressed about something.
The response is never the same. I mean, there's the same thing could happen in a lesson on one day, and the day after I could walk out the first one and be fine and the next.
Yeah.
It's very changeable.
Okay. So do you feel judged in a negative way?
Sometimes, yes. Obviously, not many people know I'm autistic. If they did, I would almost definitely feel judged because people have a bad misconception of what autism is. But yes, I mean, I find stuff quite difficult, especially at school. So clearly I've obviously come out a lot of lessons at some point. And yeah, I do feel judged for doing that.
Yeah.
Because people don't understand why.
Yeah. And like I say, you know, it's getting your voice out here, which is going to be helping with that. So it's so important that you're talking about this.
The station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio. The station that makes you feel good.
You're listening to Autistic Voices on UK Health Radio. I'm Evelyn Charmer and I'm speaking to Nick, who's 16, and he's diagnosed with autism and ADHD and high anxiety. And before the break, we were just discussing whether he feels judged by people. So, Nick, you're about to tell me about a positive experience.
I was on holiday, and it was probably the nicest response I ever had, was I met this lovely family, the dad of whom I was having a conversation with, and autism came up, and I happened to say, oh, actually, I'm autistic. And he said, what? I would never have known. You're the most lovely, not awkward at all, easily sociable, confident gentleman. And that is it. Like, that is the nicest way everyone's ever responded to me about it. And I mean, I've never had anyone give me a really awful reaction.
Yeah.
Because
I mean, think, also it says that he was maybe his understanding of being autistic is based on having met one autistic person who did present in the awkward kind of way that he was expecting.
And I also had to explain to him, I find it hard reading social cues, kind of knowing when to go in a conversation when there's lots of people. I find it hard with large groups, which is what we were in, a large group. I found it hard with lots of noise. We were on a disco floor. So
how did you manage that then? How did you cope?
Sometimes it affects me, sometimes it doesn't. It's really weird. It fluctuates, but it didn't affect me that time.
It's not weird. And as I was saying to you, I was talking to a couple of really well-respected and well-read and, you know, amazing professionals, Rory and Emma, who are from Autism Wellbeing. And we were just talking about exactly that, you know, it's difficult for parents sometimes because a child's response to one incident or something happening or a person even or a smell or food or just anything that, you know, stimulates the senses. You're talking about sound.
Yeah.
How they react to that and respond to that will fluctuate.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it depends on so many different factors. So there's nothing weird about that. It depends on a lot of different things. And I guess it's about sort of all sorts of things, isn't there? Whether you're tired, whether you are hungry, yeah, whether you're feeling stressed about something.
The response is never the same. I mean, there's the same thing could happen in a lesson on one day, and the day after I could walk out the first one and be fine on the next.
Yeah.
It's very changeable.
Okay. So, do you feel judged in a negative way?
Sometimes, yes. Obviously, not many people know I'm autistic. If they did, I would almost definitely feel judged because people have a bad misconception of what autism is. But yes, I mean, I find stuff quite difficult, especially at school. So clearly, I've obviously come out a lot of lessons at some point. And yeah, I do feel judged for doing that.
Yeah.
Because people don't understand why.
Yeah. And like I say, you know, it's getting your voice out here, which is going to be helping with that. So it's so important that you're talking about this. So let's talk a bit more about your strengths. I know that you're amazing at sport. I don't know whether that's linked to your, you know, what did you say earlier? It's not a disability, it's an extra ability. Yes. And whether it's linked to your extra abilities or not. But I know that's one of the traits that we can share, because some of us do share certain traits, can be around hyper focus and being able to really, you know, be a bit of a perfectionist about stuff. Do you feel that's you?
In some areas, I'm definitely not the most academic child in the world, but when it comes to sport, I mean, God, do I focus on my hockey. I absolutely love it, and I put everything I have into it because that is my escape from the world. That is what I do to get rid of all the kind of tension in me and all the stress, and just lets it go. And having that hyper focus and passion for it is exactly why autism can be such a good thing.
Absolutely. And also, you've got a lot of self-awareness, and I've found that in a lot of the young people I've worked with over the years who are autistic or have ADHD or neurodivergent brains in general, is that very often there's a real desire to understand yourself and a real self-awareness that comes along, which is brilliant. And you're really aware that you need to do that hockey and you need to do your sport as much as you love it. And thankfully you do, because also you've told me that you get other benefits from it, apart from it being your escape from the world.
Yeah.
What else does it do?
It's exercise, it's fresh air, which is always good for you. But I mean, it's just something that I enjoy so much. And I mean, it's where I met one of my closest friends. So, I mean, that's always a benefit. And it's having like-minded people around you.
Yeah, and we all need that. Absolutely. Yeah. So, okay. So what's the best thing about having an autistic brain for you?
Ooh.
And the worst thing. You can give us the best and worst.
Best and worst. Worst would probably be social skills, because while I'm pretty good at some things, I'm pretty awful at others. I find it very hard to cope with some things. And the best thing. Ooh, that's a tough one. I'm not actually sure.
Okay. Well, let's talk about the worst thing then. So on the one hand, you're telling me that the worst trait you think is your social skills.
Yes.
It can be really problematic and difficult for you. But on the other hand, we're hearing that you get on well with girls.
Yeah, I've been lucky with the people that I've met. I mean, I've obviously had some friends who haven't been as nice, and I've had some bad experiences, as does everyone.
Sure.
But I mean, I think I've been really lucky with some of the people I've found, and I can't thank them enough for it. But I mean, they understand me, they get me, and that's where my absolute lack of social skills, it doesn't matter, because they understand my intentions, what I'm trying to do, and they never take it in a bad way.
That's really wonderful to hear. And you know what? It doesn't matter what your labels are and what you're diagnosed with.
Yeah.
If you've got people around you who understand you, like you said, you don't need hundreds. You only need a really nice small amount, a small number of people around you who get who you are. And, you know, it's not about, for them, I'm sure, it's not about reading about autism, because actually what you read on a page is, you know, it's about them listening to you.
Yeah.
Getting to know you, trying to learn what your behavior is saying as well. Like if you're wanting to be quiet and you need silence to leave you alone. And if you're anxious and stressed, what that might look like and what might be triggering. That to me is real friendship.
Yeah.
And it sounds like you say, you're lucky with who you've met, but I believe we attract what we put out.
Yeah.
So do you think that you're a good friend to them?
I would sincerely hope so.
No, I'm sure they do, but I'm just wondering in terms of, I know that I'm coming from the heart here. So I've got a number of friends who on occasion have said to me over the years, I don't hear from you for ages. Or you say you're gonna come and join me for this and you decide last minute you're not gonna come because I have social anxiety and I'll overthink things, and then by the time I've overthought it, it's much easier to go, oh, do you know what? I'm not gonna go.
I've been in that position before, but I mean I'm the complete opposite to you. I am always trying to keep in contact. I'm always trying to talk. I'm with the people who I'm friends with. I can be too intense, which I've been told before, slightly more self-aware of that now.
Okay. So you'll go the opposite end to
yes,
me.
Yes, I'm the opposite end. If I could, I would spend all my time with my close friends.
Oh, that's so nice. I'm sure I was a lot more like that when I was younger. I don't probably spend as much time with my friends as to show them how much I love them, because I absolutely adore my friends. And like you, I feel so blessed to have them in my life. I guess it's just that sometimes I'm not aware that if I'm not available and I'm not around for them and I don't hang out with them much and I'm not one for ringing people very often either, then they might perceive that as a rejection.
No, and I think that is one of the things that I do struggle with, calling people. If I'm calling someone, I FaceTime them. So if I can't see their face, I can't read their expression. I find it hard to understand sarcasm when someone's making a joke or not. If I can't see the facial expression, that gets 10 times harder. So that is one of the big things for autism.
Yeah. And I think that is something that I totally agree with you on as well. I do all my therapy work pretty much on Zoom. And for that very reason, I think it's really important to see each other. But at the same time, I know a lot of the young people I work with who are autistic, or they might have dyspraxia, dyslexia, ADHD, high anxiety, all of those, or any combination of, can get quite anxious and stressed about needing to be in a clinic or come to see you at a different location, or you come to their house or something. So it fulfills the need to see each other, look at people's eyes, read body language and all of that, whilst not having to be in a different environment, and you're in your own space, which I think works quite well. We digress. So do you feel supported by, and I'm thinking now about adults, professionals, key people in your life?
Professionals, yes. I mean, I have a therapist I have a therapist and a counsellor. Like, very lucky me. And they help me. I can talk to whatever about them. I'm comfortable with that. Parents, unfortunately, as much as my mum may like me to, I don't talk to my parents about anything, because I'm just not comfortable talking about personal matters with them, because I just don't want to hurt their feelings. Because, I mean, I've gone through periods of depression. I've gone through periods of being suicidal. And that's just not something I would ever talk to my parents about, ever, because I would not want to hurt them.
I mean, you have told your parents, they're aware.
Yeah, they are aware, but I would never be able to have that kind of discussion with them.
Talking in depth, but I'm really glad that, you know, they're aware and you've got therapy and counselling support. School are aware as well.
Yeah.
So can I ask you a bit about that without, I don't want to trigger anything.
Go ahead.
But just in terms of your mental health,
mm-hmm.
there's a lot of commonality between neurodivergence, like autism and ADHD, and low or poor mental health. And I'm wondering if you feel that they are related at all in your experience? Or is it really hard to differentiate that?
I probably couldn't give you the answer, because you can obviously have depression and all of these other feelings without being autistic, ADHD.
Absolutely,
it can come together. And sometimes that can come as a result of an autism diagnosis. You could get depressed from that if you think it's such a bad thing, which it isn't, which is why I'm on here. It shouldn't be a bad thing.
Yeah, and I guess...
I wouldn't say they're 100% linked, no.
Yeah. So I guess what I'm asking is what your perspective is on your personal situation and whether some of your depression and suicidal thoughts have been related to frustrations that come with having an autistic brain, not because you're autistic.
I would say yes, that is probably the reason, because being autistic has left me with, while I do have close friends, I am at a boarding school. And my close friends are day people, so I spend the majority of my time in the evenings by myself. So I was left isolated by myself. I didn't know what to do because autism, anxiety, I didn't know how to reach out, and then I just fell into a hole, which I struggled to get out of. But I'm getting there.
Oh, well done. Because it's really hard to do that. I've fallen into holes myself, and I know that there'll be a lot of people listening across the world who feel exactly like that for lots of reasons. And as you rightly said, you don't have to be autistic to have mental health issues, and you don't have to have mental health issues to be autistic either. I think that some autistic frustrations, like you said, like with the social skills and your anxiety, can certainly lead to, you know, very low self-esteem and low confidence and frustration and anger and upset, and feed into that. But also, I know a lot of autistic people who never feel depressed and upset, and everybody's experience is completely different. What advice have you got for anybody out there who is autistic with or without other diagnoses and might be going through a hard time right now?
Talk to someone.
Yeah,
because you cannot do it by yourself. Believe me, I've tried many times to try and deal with something by myself. Doesn't work.
What helps when you talk to someone?
A problem shared is a problem halved. They're not passing it on to someone else, but you've got someone to help you. And especially if you speak to a professional or even a friend, just to listen, just to get it out, and they can speak to someone if you need them to. It's just you cannot deal with it by yourself. It does not work, and you will just land yourself in more trouble.
Interesting, because everyone seems to have a very different opinion on this. So this is something I'm wondering if there's anyone out there listening, they can certainly get in touch with the show and we'll have a conversation. I was talking to another young person earlier, for example, who's very much of the opinion that there isn't anything that can help and you have to work it out for yourself.
Ooh.
Yeah. So everyone's got different views, haven't they? Obviously, I'm a therapist, so I massively believe in the value of talking things through and working it out. And I think, to me, good therapy is about being able to hold up a mirror to someone and walk alongside them and collaborate with them to help them come to their own realizations about things.
Yeah. And I think what I would say is there is someone out there who can help you. It may not be the first, may not be the second, it may not be the 10th. I've gone through many, 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 many counsellors, sadly for them. but I found the people to help me. It took me quite a while, but...
Right, okay.
There's always at least one person out there who can help.
Oh, I love that. And how refreshing that you've gone through, as you said, gone through lots of different counsellors and tried different things, that you never gave up on that.
Yeah. I find it, I can't talk to my parents, I can't talk to some teachers, I don't like it, I'm not comfortable. And I'm sure I'm the same as many, many, many autistic people. You can only talk to so many people, and you just got to find those people, because they are there.
And you just know, don't you, when you feel safe to do that. Thank you. Okay, what would you say that you're on the path to fulfilling your potential? I know that you're doing really well at school and you put loads of hard work in and you're very conscientious and you're coming up to the big A levels now. So what's your plans beyond that?
Hopefully I'm going to get A's in my A-levels and go to, I'm taking a year out and I'm hopefully going to be a gappy student at a school near me for a year. I'm then hoping to go to university in London to study a history degree, hopefully themed around World War. And I would then aim to do a conversion course to law and become some sort of barrister.
Okay, so that all sounds like a brilliant plan and very well, you know, you're on the route. You're definitely more than capable. And I'm sure that with the right support, the right friends and the right attitude and the hard work that you do put in, you'll absolutely make it in whatever field you choose. In terms of taking the gap student year out, You and I both know boarding schools. I was an assistant head at a boarding school and I was responsible for the residential provision. So I know it very well. And that was in specialist provision as well. So I know what the experience is kind of like. All those schools are very, very different. And you're in a mainstream boarding school, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
And I'm just wondering if you could explain to people listening who might not know that and not been in the boarding experience, what a gap student does.
So a gap student at a prep school, which is what I'm aiming to do, is someone who goes into a school. They could be at my prep school, we had people from Australia who came in and people who went the other way. But when you take a year out, you go and work in a prep school, you might do some stuff with sport, you might help out with a bit of teaching, but it's basically, you take a year doing some experience at a school, doing some work, doing something you enjoy. So I am actually a tennis coach, studying for my level 2 now. So hopefully I can get involved with some of the tennis there. But yeah, that is effectively what it is.
Brilliant. So you're a tennis coach?
Yes.
Who do you coach?
I coach little children, so 4, 5, 6-year-olds.
Oh, that's wonderful. I think there's something really valuable for everyone. Whatever your brain or ability or extra ability in the world, I think there's something about the value of putting something into the community that you live in. And, you know, so you're doing your coaching qualification, are you?
Yes, level 2.
Superb. So you're very good. You're a real go-getter. I can tell that, Nick. Excellent. Well, that kind of sums up our interview for the show, Autistic Voices. Is there anything else you'd like to say before we end?
Thank you very much for having me. It's been really nice to share my experience and just to try and educate some people and just improve the understanding of autism. There's so many misconceptions and I think that needs to change. And this is part of what the show is all about. So thank you so much for having me.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Thank you for listening. I'm Evelyn Charmer. This is Autistic Voices on UK Health Radio. And special thanks to our guest of the week.